LBC. From Global, leading Britain's conversation with Steve Allen in Conversation With.
My first guest this week is a Scottish broadcaster who's joining LBC after a very long career in radio and television. He's earned himself a reputation as a respected and admired presenter, and we're proud to have him on board. It's Eddie Mayer. Eddie came in to talk to me about his new show, which starts this Monday at 4 p.m.
Monday?
Yes. Oh, no, don't no, start
that. That's right, it is. Monday at 4.
Yeah.
4 till 6.
Yeah.
If you're going to ask me what we're doing...
No, I'm not.
Good.
Because I don't expect you to know this far in advance.
We're not sure. I mean, we've been doing test programs, but that's really been mainly for me to work out where to sit in the chair in the studio, yeah, and where does the microphone go, and what else goes on. Here I am, I'm 52, yes, 52. And I've been doing the same program for 20 years. I've been at the BBC for more than 30. How often is a chance going to come along to work in the medium I love with people who are really passionate about radio?
Special guest in conversation. Well, it's a bit of a turnaround, actually, because LBC has a new voice. He has a new show on LBC. He's an established voice within the industry. He's been in radio almost as long as I have. It's a pleasure to welcome, and we introduce you to Eddie Mayer.
Has anyone been in radio as long as you have?
Now, I knew you'd throw that back at me. I had this feeling. I thought, when I was...
It's a compliment.
I was in bed last night, and I was thinking, which I do occasionally, I sort of think, I must lose some weight. And then I thought, what would Eddie Mayer do? What would Eddie Mayer say about this? And I thought, he's going to throw it back at me. I mean, because he's an interviewer, I'm going to ask you a question, and you're going to come back with a question.
I hate that. Don't you hate that? I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
You want.
I love your voice. I have to tell you, I'm obviously, because I'm in radio, I'm very attracted to voices, but I like individual voices. So I can hear you, and I know it's you.
It's me, hello.
I
know it's you.
You do.
And I think once we've lost all of our other faculties, and who knows when that'll be,
yeah,
we'll still recognise each other's voices.
Yes.
That's nice.
Because I can listen to people on the radio that I know, but I don't know it's them on the radio. I can listen to somebody for a while and go, your voice is very nondescript. Mm. And I think if you're going to be a successful radio presenter to any certain degree, you need to have a voice that people identify with, people recognise. So they're going to listen to me, they're going to know it's Steve Allen, they're going to listen to you, and they're going to know you're Eddie Mayer. But they might not know anything about you. So that's why this programme for this week is devoted to us getting to know you, opening you up a little bit.
I beg your pardon.
You know, and I just thought it would be necessary. Because radio presenters are notoriously secretive. You know, especially if you do what I call the serious stuff, the big
boys.
You're
doing air quotes there, I should just say, for people who are not watching on video.
Yeah, I always do that.
Yeah.
But they will be watching me on video.
Of course they will.
Always. You've taken your glass off, I'll take mine off. Okay, right, now I can't see you.
Where are you?
So that solved that problem. Where are you? So here you are. So you join LBC, and Monday at 4 o'clock is your first programme.
Monday? Yes.
Oh, no, don't no,
that's,
start
that's
that.
That's right, it is. Monday at 4.
Yeah.
4 till 6.
Yeah.
And if you're going to ask me what we're doing...
No, I'm not.
Good.
Because I don't expect you to know this far in advance.
We're not sure. I mean, we've been doing test programmes.
Yeah.
And I've seen you around the office the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But that's really been mainly for me to work out where to sit in the chair in the studio, yeah, and where does the microphone go, and what else goes on.
Because you've had your own comfort zone for a long, long time. Now you've moved into a different zone, but it's equally as friendly, if not more so, and we're equally as welcoming and accommodating.
Oh, it's very friendly. I mean, that's one of the reasons I wanted to come here, because when it was in the offing, and I thought, well, yeah, but what would LBC like to work for? What are the people like?
Yeah.
And all the soundings I took, genuinely, people in the industry, people who used to work here, said, it's a happy place to work. And having been in my old job for a really long time, and as far as I know, I could have stayed, the possibility of doing something new, the only reason to do it would be to have fun and be happy in your day job.
Yeah.
So if I'd heard bad things, then I wouldn't have come. But I heard good things, and so far that's been shown to be true.
I actually firmly, the older I become, the more, not set in my ways, but the more you appreciate everything you've got round here, because there's those of us who've been in the industry quite a long while, and there's probably people just coming into the industry, and they always want to ask the same questions. How do you keep a job that long? And in your case, you kept moving.
Well, I mean, at the BBC, I know where the bodies are buried.
Yeah.
I mean, usually that's just a figure of speech.
But you do.
Yeah. Underneath Broadcasting House.
Would one of them be any ex-producers and things like that? But what was the final clincher for you to come to LBC? I know that the talks have been going on for some time, and I was thinking, now what would tempt you away from your comfort zone, apart from us being nice people?
Well, that's a good question. The talks didn't go on that long. I mean, I first spoke to James, our boss, more than a year ago, but he sort of planted the seed in my mind that maybe someday we could do business together. And at first I sort of dismissed it. I was very happy where I was. But then I began to think, well, here I am. I'm 52. Yes, 52. And I've been doing the same program for 20 years. I've been at the BBC for more than 30. How often is a chance going to come along to work in the medium I love with what turns out to be, and what I was told, what a happy bunch of people? With people who are really passionate about radio, that's never going to happen again. And so really I thought, don't be stupid, because if you don't take this chance, you will never leave. And within a short time, you will regret it. And there was a couple of times when things seemed to be going wrong, that for dull technical reasons, I wouldn't be coming to LBC. And the couple of occasions when that happened, I was really dismayed. I was really sad. And I thought, well, that's all you need to know, Eddie. The prospect of staying where you are is making you unhappy. So I'm really glad that we managed to get it all sorted.
And of course, you were a listener to LBC as well.
Yes.
I discover lots of people in the industry who listen to me, and I'm always fascinated to think, would you not be listening to your own radio station?
Well, we'll come on to you in a moment, because I know you don't want to talk about yourself, and I know we should talk about me, because I'm so interesting. But
I told you to be careful, ladies and gentlemen.
I like good radio, and I think regardless of who's broadcasting it, that's what I want to hear. I mean, overnight on Radio 4, there's the World Service, which is great, and, you know, it's always very interesting. But I like to tune in to you because, as you know from the 4 o'clock spike, you're lively, interesting, and alive. I mean, you're not pre-recorded. You're there. You're sparking. Mm-hmm. So for me, who tends to get up early, that's absolutely perfect. And then that leads nicely into Nick, who just, you know, goes off like a rocket at 7 o'clock. So it's a really engaging way to start the day. And I'm not saying that because I'm joining LBC. As you know, I've written before when I'm still at the BBC about how good that early morning lineup is. I mean, obviously, because of work, I didn't get to hear much of James and Sheila and Ian, but there's a formidable lineup. And when I was talking about maybe coming here, we didn't think about time slot until very late. And I kept thinking, well, where am I going to go? Because that's a really strong daytime schedule. Mm. So, you know, there I am at 4. We'll see how it goes.
It's nice, but it's also doubled the length of your show.
Yeah, I mean, I worked an hour a day before, which, you know, was exhausting. And they said, well, you know, the current slot's 3 hours. I said, well, I can't possibly. No. Can't. So we're going to start with two.
True.
We're going to try and beat them down to one. Well, they may insist on one before long.
Yes, they haven't heard the show yet. Because the interesting thing is, we haven't heard you on LBC. We actually started off with having what we call sweepers, just going, coming soon, Eddie Mayer on LBC. But we hadn't heard you. Today, there's now your voice on there, on the trail. So that makes it more interesting.
Well, I'm sick of the trail. I want to apologise to everyone who's already tired of hearing me before I started. But, you know, it's kind of necessary, I guess.
You have to do them. But also, it creates an interest. And I'm glad that you like the lineup of LBC, because that's what they've always said. You've got to kickstart every day. Mm. And you've got to make sure, and because LBC's audience stay with us for a long time, because there's so many different presenters. I'm not saying that I thought that the BBC was stale in any way, but we have far more freedom on commercial radio than you probably had at the BBC. Mm. And having watched your interviews, I'm very interested in your technique. And I only ask about
That's a grand word for it.
It is a grand word. Yes, I know. I also wasn't sure if it was a technique or not. Because your background from the early days is not radio. There's no radio in the family, is there? There's nobody who worked on it.
No, and we didn't really listen to much radio. As, you know, I've got no recollection of, you know, a breakfast show being on in the kitchen or whatever. I first heard breakfast radio when I would, you know, go to friends on the way to school, and I'd hear that. So no, and I always wanted to be a journalist, but had no concept that you might start in radio. I always assumed you'd spend 20 years in papers, and then it'd be like Nick.
Well, that's how it was at LBC. They didn't have any radio presenters.
That's how it was. So I stumbled into radio thinking, well, this is interesting, and then I'm still here.
All right, we're going to take a very quick break. More from Eddie Mayer. It's the introduction to the man who starts this Monday, and he'll be with you every day, Monday through Friday, between 4 and 6. So more from Eddie after this.
Hello, I'm Eddie Mayer, and I'm eager to get started at LBC. It's unbiased, unfiltered, and best of all, unpredictable. The thing I'm looking forward to most is hearing from you, because you have as much expertise and insight as any of the politicians and experts. So call me this Monday from 4, only on LBC.
Eddie Mayer, coming soon to LBC.
I can't wait to get started.
Rick Steve Allen, in conversation with, on LBC.
Special guest in conversation. He's the new addition to the LBC family, the ever-expanding family. A much respected and awarded radio presenter, Eddie Mayer, who joins us this coming Monday, and he'll do all week 4 till 6. He's trying to get it down to the hour, but I think they're going to push it to 3. I know what they're like in commercial radio. But is it so? Let's just go back. So here we are. There you are. You're hearing a bit of radio going to school. But nobody's in radio. So where does the interest come from?
At school, they had a little cupboard from where, at lunchtimes, there was a microphone, and there were, I think, copper wires. This is long before wireless was thought of in that sense. And people would play records and make announcements. And somebody said, do you fancy doing that someday? So I messed around there, but again, I didn't think I would make a living at it. It was just a bit of fun. And I managed to hook up with the local radio station that was just starting up, commercial radio in Dundee. It was about to get started, and for the school newspaper, I thought, I'll do an interview with them, which I did. And then they said to me, I think I was about 14, they said, when we go on air, would you come along and do a little report on what's going on in local schools? You can imagine how riveting that was. So I stole all the information from the local paper and trooped along, I remember, in pilot week. And Kenny Page, who was doing the drive time show. So yeah, I started in drive time, now I think about it. I went in a bundle of nerves and sat clutching a piece of paper, my sweat-stained paper, and started reading this, with a tremulous voice, I'm sure, this dull report on, you know, who'd won the local hockey match. I remember him saying at the end, that was really good. Which is what you always say, no matter how terrible the guest is. And I said, great. And I turned up the next week, and I went into the studio, and he said, you know, it's fortnightly. And what? I said, did nobody tell you? It's every 2 weeks. You shouldn't be here this week. But he put me on. Anyway, I carried on at school, and in the break between leaving school and going to university, the radio station phoned me up and said, we're doing a kids thing. We're going to get 5 or 6 kids to make 3 weeks of programs. Would you come along and do it? I did that, fell in love with the medium, and said to the boss, would you give me a job? I don't want to go to university anymore. I want to work in radio. And he said, no, go away. Go and get your degree and come back. But I don't know, pleaded with him, begged. And eventually he said, okay, I'll give you a job. And I spent 4 very happy years in commercial radio. One of my first jobs was on a phone-in, an hour Sunday morning, just me and the callers. And as you know, I mean, that's a baptism of fire. I learn a lot.
Yeah.
But I loved all of that. I loved the freedom of commercial radio. And I was, you know, I was a dog's buddy for a long time. And then eventually, and you know, as I say, ended up on air. And I got to do loads of, they put me on sports programming, which was stupid.
Me too.
I remember the boss one day saying, he called me in and said, what do you know about gardening? I said, well, nothing. I've got a 6-week slot in the summer. I'm going to do a gardening show. Yeah. So, you know, you do all of that nonsense.
I did DIY.
You did not.
Car maintenance.
Did the programme fall apart?
It was, honestly, you found yourself doing everything, but then you see, you're right, it's a baptism of fire. I like the idea that you throw somebody in. If you like doing the job, it doesn't matter what you're doing. I know a lot of people come into it and they go, well, of course, I don't want to do overnights on radio. I just want to do daytime. And you think, listen, work your passage.
Yeah.
Learn the be grateful that somebody's given you the opportunity to learn how to do it. Because no matter what anybody tells, you know, and I'm always going, I always play it down, and people say, no, it's difficult what you do. It's difficult. And I go, well, I don't find it difficult. And they go, no, but that's just you. If everybody could do it, you know, they'd find somebody cheaper and probably younger. And I don't like that idea at all. So for you to do that at that, were you paid?
Yeah. I wasn't an intern. I mean, right. I did a lot of that now.
Yes.
So again, I'm grateful that the first year at Radio Tay, I got £3,500 a year.
What year was that?
That was 83.
£3,500.
I have no idea what that's worth now. I'm sure it's not that much.
Oh, that's interesting. I was on 8,000 in 79.
Overpaid git.
Yes, I was in London, by Jove. I tell you, we used to beat the living daylights out of people like you. That was it. But then I didn't care about the money.
Yeah, me neither.
The money wasn't really of any interest to me, which has probably been to my disadvantage ever since. I just liked doing the job. The fact they paid you for it at the end of the week was, at the end of the month, I thought was the best thing ever. I thought it was wonderful. So you stayed the 4 years up there.
And then moved to the BBC in Glasgow, Radio Scotland.
Right.
In the newsroom for a while.
Where were you living at the time?
I was in Dundee at Tay, and then moved to Glasgow. And after, in 1998, so after 4 years I've lost track of time. Anyway, I was at the BBC in Scotland for a long time. And 94, I moved to Five Live, which was launching.
Right.
So we had quite a successful launch. That went pretty well. And then in 98, I moved to Radio 4 and was been there ever since.
And what was that like for you? Did you feel fulfilled when you got there? Did you think, this is what I've worked all these years for, this is what I'm doing it for?
At Radio 4, it felt very grown up.
Yeah.
I was quite terrified by it because, you know, it's a big kind of serious, scratchy beard, pointy-headed station. And I hadn't really done much of that. Five Live, you know, is... Well, certainly was. I don't hear it much now. But, you know, we mucked about. We did the news, but you know, we mucked about a lot. And that was great fun. So it felt suddenly very grown up. And I wasn't sure I was quite ready for it.
So what do you like about radio? What is it that attracts you to shows and to people?
Well, people talk about the intimacy of radio. And you perfectly well understand what that is. And a lot of people do, but I hear people talk about it, and I'm not sure they know what they're talking about. There's the, as a practitioner, the simplicity of sitting at a microphone and thinking, hopefully, but certainly talking, and just getting into the ear of all sorts of people without cameras, without clutter, just the simplicity of the human voice going into the human ear. You know, it's a medium that hasn't been bettered, and I think it's why people are still listening, despite all the other choices out there.
Yeah.
I think it's why radio's growing.
Yes.
Because the joy of that can't be matched.
And the amount of radio stations there are. When I started, we were the first commercial radio station on air. Mm. But we didn't appreciate that at all. We had no idea. We didn't do phone-ins overnight. I remember one night we did something, and all of a sudden the switchboard lit up at 3 a.m. went, there's people listening. We were quite surprised, actually, by it. And so we used to have listener parties to try and bring it together. God knows why we did it. I can't think of any logical reason. It was just an opportunity for some very weird people who wanted to come and sort of sit in a room with us and just listen to us talking about nothing.
Have we eaten anything the listeners have sent in?
No.
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 Wogan had a rule that you should never do that.
Always told that. I remember a lady years and years ago, I'm sure she's passed on, did stagger into one of the stations we were at, and she said, Steve, Chinese, and she said, I've made you this lovely chocolate cake. And I thought, how lovely. And I looked at it, and it was on a plate covered in cling film, and it had cream oozing out the side and all the rest of it. It was lovely. And she went, I just did that as a special treat for you. And I said, oh, thank you very much indeed. She was a bit like Mrs. Doubtfire.
I was about to say
a little bit. I only do the one accent. So I either sound like
Prince Charles.
And so she left the building, and I turned round and I dropped it in the bin. And at that moment, she turned round and came back in the doors again. And I remember thinking, oh, this could be a difficult... And she said, oh, I forgot to put these chocolate things on top of the cake. And she'd come up with these little extra bits on there. And she said, shall I put them on? I said, they've just taken the cake through. Give them to me, I'll take them there. If the poor woman is still alive, I do apologise, but we didn't eat the cake. I think Wogan was right.
Yeah.
Because people send in lots of things. As you know, if you're on the radio, people come to rely on you. People like you. And people are very generous.
Well, you can become their friend. And I've got, I mean, I've looked on you as my friend, even though I've barely
Well, it's a shame that, isn't it, really? And it's not that on my head straight away.
I was speaking to a former BBC colleague the other day who goes to visit his mum every weekend. She lives hundreds of miles away. She has dementia. And she really is beginning to slip away now. And he said to me, he said, oh, my mum was asking after you, but she doesn't remember me.
Oh.
Isn't that nice?
I think that's quite nice.
Yeah.
I think that's quite nice because I think radio provides a lifeline for a lot of people. I get no end of letters and emails and texts from people saying, you know, you helped me through, my partner died or this happened. And you think, that's when my dad died, my mum used to listen to LBC all the time because she wanted the reassuring comfort of a voice that she felt she could trust. And that's what I think it's built on. In your case, you actually come with a lot of pedigree. There's, you know, you've done your interviews, you've done the television programs, you can play very serious, but at the same time there's a naughty streak.
Yeah, and we probably have to pause in a second, but before we go in, if I can do a bumper.
Do we have to pause?
Excuse me,
why are you trying to produce this program? What is going on?
These are 12
minutes. I explained this to you before we started. He said, how long is this program? I said, it's an hour, because he's a very important person. And he said, oh, I can't do an hour.
You've had fascinating people on for only half an hour. Michael Caine wants to be interviewed by you, and I'm sitting here instead. I mean, come on.
Listen, if I don't want to talk to somebody, I don't talk to somebody. And I wanted to talk to you because we go back a long time.
We do.
You know.
And what I wanted to say was, there's one interview I did with Boris Johnson on television, which people still talk
about. You're so naughty, you know you're naughty.
Well, I can reveal, I've never told people this before, but you were the inspiration for it.
Me?
Yeah.
Why was I the inspiration?
Well, I was standing in for Andrew Marr on television, and Michael Cockerell, that doyen of documentary makers, had a documentary out about Boris Johnson. And I'd seen a preview of it, and Michael Cockerell had come up with all these great questions about some slightly questionable things in Boris Johnson's past. And that was put to him in the documentary. So I thought, well, I'll do it live. I'll basically steal all Michael's questions and put these questions to him live. And I thought, well, having put these questions to him, I want to round it off with a phrase that will sum up how people might feel about Boris Johnson, having heard all of that. Now, as a regular listener to you, Steve Allen, I regularly hear you describe people as a nasty piece of work. And I can hear you saying it, that phrase, oh, it's a nasty piece of work, that sort of, that lovely tone. So I wrote the question, you know, and we discussed it as a production team beforehand. I said, once we do all that, I want to say to Boris Johnson, you're a nasty piece of work, aren't you? And the man really responsible for that question is you.
Was me.
Yeah.
Yes, I do get carried away sometimes, but thank you for that. We're going to take a very short break, and we'll have more from Eddie Mayer after this.
Steve Allen, in conversation with, on LBC.
Special guest in conversation. So I'm the inspiration, according to Eddie Mayer.
True.
For the Boris. Actually, funny thing is, I only watched the Boris Johnson interview the other day.
I've only watched it back once, and that's when I was forced to. So thank you.
It's horrible to watch things back, isn't it? I mean, can you listen back to radio programs?
No. And watching it back was, I was at an event and I had to watch a clip. And actually, I thought it was quite good. I mean, normally you watch stuff back, I hear it.
No, telly likes you. You've got a nice face for telly.
Telly. is that where I plug my book called A Good Face for Radio? Thanks very much.
I know, I was going to mention that as well. You see, I wrote that, all these things, because somebody said to me, what research do you do? Now, I know a lot of radio presenters do tons and tons of research.
Well,
and I was thinking, well, there's no point.
No, have a conversation.
It's a conversation with somebody. As long as you've got the bare bones of where somebody came from, family and things, and yours is a very ordinary family,
dull,
excuse me.
Feel free to say dull background, that's okay.
Yeah, but I don't want to use the word dull. I don't think it's dull. Because I think you're an only child.
No. I've got sisters. And I'm a Scorpio. Does that help you?
No, I'm Pisces and I don't live by water.
I wanted to ask you, and I know I shouldn't be talking to you about you, but do you mind if I ask you about the show after Dale died?
Yeah.
Do you mind if I ask you about that?
No, I don't.
Because I woke up early that morning and went onto the news websites and saw the news. And my first thought was you. And I really felt for you because, you know, I've heard you speak about Dale many times over the years. And I was sitting as a radio person thinking, well, Steve won't be on, will he? Steve won't be on. And then 2 seconds later, I thought, well, of course Steve will be on. Because coming back to what radio is about, and particularly the brilliant radio you do, your relationship with the audience, the fact that they're part of your life and you're part of theirs, is, and that you don't directly interact with calls, is almost unique, I think. And I thought, I was feeling for you, I was worried for you, and I thought, well, but there's nowhere else Steve will be than in that studio.
Mm.
And what you did was, for me, I assume you're going to win all the broadcasting awards. And I know you wouldn't want an award for such a tragedy, but as a piece of broadcasting, I just want to say to your face, it was a tour de force. I can't think of a more complete, absorbing piece of radio that I've heard ever. It was incredible how you, not just how you held it together, I mean, sometimes you didn't, but it was the most human piece of radio I think I've ever encountered, with absolute gold standard presentation, and I'm in awe. I'm regularly in awe of what you do every day, but that was incredible. And
I was fine before the program, strangely enough.
Yeah.
I was talking about it because I'd woken up and I got loads of phone calls from friends saying, don't open your emails, Dale's died. And it still chokes me a bit now. And I remember thinking, right, I won't check the number. But curiosity got the better of me. I had to check it.
Well, when anyone says don't do it, of course.
Don't do this. And it turns out to be true, because we joked about it before. Who's going to live longest and all the rest of it. But when it actually happens, you kind of think, no, it's not real. And so I was talking about it to my producer, being quite normal about it. And my boss had already said, you know, he wasn't sure if I was going to come in. If you don't want to come in, don't come in. But you're right.
Did you think about not coming in?
No.
Yeah.
No, I had to come in.
Yeah.
I had to come. I just felt I owed it, because I thought, having known him since he was 18, I wanted people to know. I'm going to cry again, I'm afraid.
I don't mean to set you off.
It's just a silly thing. But I started the program and I was fine. And then something hit me.
Hmm.
And then I sort of went, and I think I remember apologising, saying, I'm really sorry, I don't mean to be like this. But I couldn't help it. Because I'm wrapped up in what I do for, like you're wrapped up in what you do for a living. We do what we do, and we're successful, in inverted commas, to various degrees, because of the way that we can put it over to people. And that really, for me, was sort of like everything.
Well, I'm flattered that you would bracket me in the same way, but I think you appreciate that part of the reason, and you mentioned this earlier, part of the reason other broadcasters listen to you is because they know how tricky broadcasting can be, and you do it in the most seat-of-your-pants way, without all the nonsense, all the support that everybody else gets. You just do it. And I think that's why broadcasters, more than anybody, I know your listeners love you for what you do, but I think broadcasters appreciate more deeply than anybody else that you work in a unique way. You're a unique talent.
And I'm actually jealous of you, you see.
Okay, Leon,
fine. Let's go back to you. Yeah. Jealous because of what you do. And I think, I mean, I can do...
Many people are being sick with this mutual love affair that's going on.
The funny thing is, you know, if anybody ever says anything, I go, listen, you won't find anything more genuine. My piece about Dale got played on your ex-radio station.
Yes, yeah.
Loads of people picked up on it, and I thought that was quite touching. I found it very touching.
There was no better tribute.
No.
There was no better tribute. And we... Planning our program that night in my old show, we discussed, should we phone so-and-so, should we get this, should we get that clip? And I said, well, I heard Steve this morning, and that's all you need. And the LBC very generously said, you know, play as much as you want. We played a big chunk.
Well, we had a big chunk, and then we got a big chunk on somebody else's program. And that was really nice. But that's what we do, because I believe in what I do. Mm. I can't go on air and tell fibs, because I learned years and years ago, if you try and pretend to be somebody or model yourself on somebody else, then people go, oh, you're just ripping off somebody else's act. Whereas I don't, even my boss describes it as my act of what I do in the morning, because I'm alive, I'm awake and everything else. And when a disaster happens, then you can reflect it. And we had somebody years ago teaching us about broadcasting, and they didn't really see me. They saw everybody else. And I said, why didn't you see me? She said, well, she said, I've listened to your program. She said, you can talk about life and death and unhappiness and happiness and having money and not having money. You have to experience lots of things to talk about on the program if you're going to fly by the seat of your pants. And that's what makes radio so interesting. You know, so for you, at the age of just slightly over 50, to make a big decision to move back to commercial radio, which is where your roots are. Mm. You came from that, and to do something and to take on a new challenge, I think is fantastic.
And it's been fun doing the pilot programs, the test programs, just chuntering away at the microphone. I mean, I know Steve Allen, and I'm not trying to do the same kind of show as you, but
they'd be horrified.
It's much more. You know, the scripts are minimal, so it's me just riffing away. And sometimes that's been horrendous for everyone listening through the glass, but sometimes it's been okay. But the main thing is I'm having a great time.
Yes.
I mean, maybe nobody else will, but I'm really enjoying it.
No, they will, and well, you know we'll that. But we all do that, don't we? You go, oh, I hope people are going to enjoy it. But you know, as soon as that light comes on, the little red bit comes on there, and you're just... that you're into that strange world. It's almost as if the lights dim everywhere else and they're just on us.
I'm excited that I'm more enthusiastic, genuinely, about the job than I think I've ever been. The sense of rush of enthusiasm, I didn't know what was going to happen, and yet it's there, and it's getting more powerful by the day. I might explode before the first show.
Did they give you a brief? Because are you going to do a facsimile of the last show?
No. They've been surprisingly vague, which is maybe... And I'm sure after the first week or so, they're going to say, well, could we have a word? Because what we had in mind, you see, was... it's very... I mean, we'll do the news, and there'll be some news interviews, there'll be some phone calls. So there, that's innovative, isn't it? Wow.
Stand by. You're going to have celebrity guests?
We're not planning to. Mm. The very good planning people here have offered us all sorts of interesting people for our first week to kind of make a splash. But I've said, well, I'd rather just do a very ordinary week. Because
I knew you'd say that.
I think the habit-forming bit of radio you get from the ordinariness of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we could get Theresa May on the first day and Tony Blair the second, and I turned them both down, you know, that would be fine. But then that means Wednesday's a bit kind of...
Yeah.
So I'd rather just do a on the Monday.
Yeah,
I'm sure I will.
I'm sure you probably too. But I like the idea. You're quite right, because if you do something that's hugely big and then maybe you can't get a guest on Tuesday or it's difficult or somebody pulls out, all of a sudden it doesn't seem... So I think you start from a level you're more comfortable starting with and you keep there, and then other things come in. And that's why each day you don't want anything to sound as if it's predictable. It's got to sound as if it's spontaneous.
Yeah.
And because of your style, it will sound spontaneous.
Oh, it'll sound spontaneous.
Oh, God knows it will, I know.
So, yeah, and I want to give listeners the chance to get to know me, because I'm coming into the slot that Ian's occupied for all of these years, and Ian's been I was on at drive time on the old place, and Ian was a formidable opponent, and talking about familiarity, so I'm going to rock up at 4 o'clock on Monday, and Sheila will hand to me, and Ian's regular listeners will be like, okay, so who's this? And it's annoying. I hate when radio schedulers change my favourite people. Although sometimes I might be the beneficiary. But as a listener, I'm thinking, what have you changed that for? I used to like that.
Yeah.
So I get that. And so I have to humbly say to Ian's listeners, look, I'm sorry, I'm not Ian. He is on at 7, so if you could be patient.
Yeah.
You get a professional.
Your voice is going to take you through it, because you don't have an aggressive voice. You've got a...
Oh, don't I?
Don't start.
Did I overload there?
overload. But no, but you don't have... You've got a very calming voice. So people go, it's a lovely little lilt of an accent. It's lovely. It works really well, actually. And I think that's what wins people over. People who will know you through the industry, well, everybody will be listening, you see, because they want to know what you're going to be doing, but you're not going to give anything away, are you?
I don't know what you're doing. I really don't. I mean, the rather dull thing I outlined about some news, some phone calls, and some interviews. I mean, that's it. I've deliberately kept the running order clear of anything, any set pieces or anything like that. So it'll be on the day. I really don't know what we'll be doing.
And you like the studio?
The studio is space. space age.
It is space age, isn't it?
Was your last studio like that?
No, no.
No, I mean, it's old.
Dusty, there's a grandfather clock.
Heavens above.
You could hear the ticking, yes, exactly.
In the background, the producer slumped over the desk, glass
of gin. Well, the producer, I mean, you're stepping over staff at the BBC, obviously.
Oh, with so many of them.
Whereas I'm sitting on my own, and this, like, Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
Battling the Klingons.
And do
you can get cream for.
You can, actually. And talcum powder. Such an old joke. Luckily, we both know it. Let's take a short break. Final bit of conversation. I told you it goes quick.
Well, not for people listening.
No, no, they're loving it. Seriously. Listen, so far, we've laughed. You've made me cry. Really upset my day. Honestly, I was having such a nice day before. So, more from Eddie Mayer after this.
Steve Allen, in conversation with, on LBC.
Special guest in conversation. I'm so looking forward to hearing his first programme, which is on Monday on LBC. Eddie Mayer is the new addition to the stable. He's had his pictures taken. He'll be up on the website and things like that. He's got his team assembled. They've been down to the studio. They're very comfortable with it all. So everything's in place. What's your routine going to be? Because you must have worked out a routine.
Well, I've been trying to, but the pilot programs we've been doing at 2 in the afternoon, which is the wrong time, because that's when we can get access to the studio. So, I mean, ideally, I want to rock up about 3:30.
3:30?
And then, you know, they're going to hand me a gold embossed script.
Right.
For the whole 2 hours. And I'll say, what am I saying today, darlings? And they'll scurry up with a script and I'll discard bits
they're
of
They're going to panic if you fired. Roll up at 3:30.
I know. But, so I've been in quite early already in the last couple of weeks. Yeah. Another presenter's been going, what are you doing here at this time?
I know.
So we'll see. What time should I rock up? You tell me.
I always think, for me, it's an hour and a bit before the show. Only because I like a couple of cups of tea. I like to go to the toilet.
Just get
and
by the way, about the toilet.
Yes,
it's maybe different at your time of the morning, but there's
or going to the toilet. No, it's the same.
There's a little loo not far from the studio because I said, "Where's the nearest loo?" Because I'm an age.
Yes, there's one around the corner. It's a disabled one.
But it's always occupied. Is that the Smooth Radio people?
Probably. I don't know. To be
honest, during the day,
no. Bang on the door. Excuse me, incontinent. Bang, bang, bang. You know. Because you're right, everybody seems to use that one. Yeah.
So that's what I'm learning. I'm learning all of these important things. Where the nearest coffee place is.
The nearest coffee place is the person through the glass when you go, coffee, thank you.
Oh, do you get that kind of service? I always feel a bit bad about that.
Well, I don't, because I've only got one poor person driving. Oh, but you have true. A little team. You'll have an AP.
Oh, it's a cast of hundreds.
Is there?
No. but you're constantly, your producers are always talking to you. I mean, they're always in your ear and just goading you, I think.
Well, I remember somebody doing that years ago to me and seeing if they could put me off by talking to me in my ear while I carry on talking. And of course, all I do is I just turn down the headphones and I just carry on. I don't need to worry about it. But I need my feed off them.
Mm.
I mean, you don't need a feed because you're a standalone presenter. I'm sort of a standalone presenter, but I like to bring people in to make it sound like it's bigger than it is.
Yeah.
You know, which is something that's troubled me for a long while. So I've always tried to make sure that you can make the show sound. Always start big, finish big, and forget about the bit in the middle.
Well, that's all the advice I need. Practicing the last week, I realised that the setup here is very different. So I used to use one screen as my link to the outside world. I was on the internet. I could add scripts. There was a running order. And then I sat down one day last week and said, okay, loves, where's my running order, darlings? And then, what do you mean running order? You don't need a running order. All right, okay, well, where do I write on the screen? But no, you can't. So I've had to learn a whole new way of working. It's like naked radio. Let's not think about that.
No, it's best not. No, but you're right. I used to get years ago a running order. If you had guests in, they would put the title of the guest, suggested questions.
Yeah.
People don't do that now.
No,
people don't do it. It's left to us. So I've actually done interviews and I've said, "Oh, could you send me some details on who it is? Oh, I think we might have a piece of paper somewhere."
But I need it as an aide memoir because I forget. I mean, I forget everything.
I do.
I write my own name down. Just in case. We've got Lisa Aziz on the news, and I'll write Lisa's name down, in case I forget.
Because you think you're likely to forget?
Well, it's happened. I mean, Philip Eden, you remember Philip Eden?
Who could forget
LBC
Philip Eden?
Doyens.
Oh, the stories we could tell you.
Well, but not here.
No.
Sadly, no longer with us. And Philip, we worked together.
Is he not with us?
Life. No, he's not.
Where did he go to?
I mean...
Has he gone to heaven?
Well, he's...
Good Lord above.
He has passed away.
What, be it recently, or...?
In the past year or two.
Did he?
Yes. I'm sorry to be a bearer of bad news.
Well, heavens above, honestly. Oh, well.
We should never mention it now.
I'm feeling quite queasy, actually. I was feeling all right a minute ago.
Anyway, Five Live, I remember there was a couple of times and Philip would come in twice a show and do his forecast. I'd known him for a long time. And one day I looked at him and he was sitting right next to me and said, neither weather with... Who are you?
Oh.
So, I did that quite a lot, so I've got to write everything down.
It's best to write things down.
So I need an aid memoir.
Could they not wear a badge?
The badge match.
As they come in, somebody writes their name in a felt-tip pen and sticks it on there. Because I go like that. I can have somebody coming in, and I can go, hi, because I see them every day. Yeah. I'm blowed if I remember their name.
Yeah.
I forgot Joanne Webb, the travel girl's name. I knew who she was, I just couldn't remember the name. And I'm going through it.
Travel.
Yes. So here we are with the travel. Here she is.
You know her.
Yes, you know her. She knows you. It's fine. It'll go well. But you realise, don't you, that everybody's going to be listening to that first show. It's like having the best captive audience you're ever going to have.
And possibly the biggest audience we'll ever have.
No. Oh, no, we have high hopes for you.
Well,
oh my goodness me,
we
have high hopes.
Excited about that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I know the LBC might and my bosses will.
Yeah.
But... I need to have fun. B, I need to do the best show we can do.
Yeah.
And then everything else will either fall into place or it won't.
But you will do that, though. You know that you're going to do the best show because that's what you do. Nobody goes on air to do a bad show. You go on air to do a show that you think, that went really well. But it's all going to go nicely. People got to smile at the right time. You know, got to make sure you got your water, make sure, because you're the talent. People keep you happy.
Yeah, I need to be more demanding, I think.
You think?
Yeah.
No, I think you're going to have a lot of fun. I think it's going to come over. I think you're going to enjoy every minute of it, but you must have some sort of nerves. Do you ever get nervous?
Oh, I think I've got the right nerves for this. Yeah. I was much more anxious before I arrived because the...
Of what? Because
I'd never been in the building. Right. I didn't know where anything was. I hadn't met any of the people. So the long run up and I had some time off work. And finally, so I was more nervous the day before I came in the building than I am now, because now I've met the people, now I know how good they are, I've got some semblance of an idea of how the studio works, so it's much less scary. But the sheer unknown, that was frightening.
Yeah.
But now it's okay. Now it's the right kind of broadcast nerves.
Yeah. So have you had a chance to have a holiday?
Yeah, I had lots of holiday time to take before after I got fired from BBC.
Yeah.
So I had a good break. In fact, more time off than I think I've ever had. And again, that's unnerving. I can't remember the last time I was away from the microphone for so long.
No, I don't do holidays.
I know you don't.
I know, it's what, even though they keep saying, why don't you take a holiday?
And I've done it on 7 days a week.
To do what? What do you do on holiday that I can't do now? I've done sightseeing. I know, if I want to know what places look like, I go to the internet and type in Cathedral, Milan.
But don't you think that speaks to the importance of your connection with radio in your life?
No, it shows I'm very lonely.
No,
and basically I've got no friends.
But it doesn't. I think, you know, it speaks to the importance of your connection with the audience and how important it is for you to be there at the microphone.
I don't want to share the programme.
Neither you should.
Does that sound awful?
No. It's absolutely your gig. Your
I
legend.
Know.
I remember when I first heard you, it was the day after my 40th birthday.
Oh,
so,
Lord.
Not that long ago. And I was slightly the worse for wear. I was being driven away, I think in an ambulance. Anyway, and the radio was on. It was Sunday morning. Were you on 10 till 1 then, or 7 till 10? I can't remember.
Oh, I was all over the place.
And I hadn't clocked you before, and I apologise for that, because you've been around a long time. And I heard you, and I said, who is this? Who is...
Turn
oh,
was it
up.
Like that?
No, it was... joy at hearing, you know, how unusual and brilliant you are. And I couldn't stop listening. And I started listening to you on the podcast and all the rest of it. So I can pinpoint the day I heard you, and I'm, thank God I did.
Well, I'm thrilled to know that I was the basis for the Boris Johnson interview.
But you were. That's the truth.
Yeah. I like that. I like that idea. I mean, because it's funny, because you've got some very nice awards for broadcasting and for programming and things like that. And I've always not been anti-awards, but I've always said, listen, I get paid for doing my job. I don't need an award. And I did get, as you know, we sort of kind of shared the Radio Times. You kind of shared it a bit more than I did, but, you know, I don't make a big deal about it. Seriously, it didn't make any difference at all to me. I just crossed you off the Christmas card list. And I thought that was quite nice, because that's when you sort of think, oh, people do like what you do. You know, we all have an edge of insecurity. Just such a little tiny bit.
You don't doubt that, though, do you?
Oh, always. Oh, always. Absolutely. absolutely, for the past 30 years. Yeah, I always worry it comes to contract renewal time and you go, what if they're going to renew my contract or something? And then you think, what would I do?
Oh, I get that. But you don't doubt that you're appreciated and liked and loved.
People are always telling me how much they like me and think, and I quite
like
that.
Do you accept it? Do you appreciate it? No, I can feel it.
I don't really. I just, it's very nice, but it doesn't mean anything to me. Do you know what I mean? I can't really explain what it is. I do the job, people listen to it, but I don't know that they're listening. I can't see anybody quite clearly. That's why you aim everything through the glass. Mm. But we just do it because it's great fun. It's great fun. And you're going to have the most fun, and we're going to share in it. And
you're not going to be listening. You'll be going to bed at that time.
Excuse me, I've already sorted out my new Winnie the Pooh pyjamas and my new fluffy slippers.
That is how I will think of you at 1 minute to four on Monday. I may mention that.
No, please don't. Please don't. Listen, it's a delight to welcome you to LBC. I feel as though I've sort of done it officially.
Well,
in conversation.
Now you've spoken to me, it is official.
It is official. It's absolutely official. Eddie Mayer, LBC, Monday to Friday, 4 till 6. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Thanks to this week's guest, Eddie Mayer. You can hear an extended version of the interview on our podcast service and watch the video on our website. I'll be back next week with more celebrity guests. And don't forget, you can listen to LBC wherever you want, wherever you are. Download the free LBC app for your mobile or tablet and never miss a moment.